I don't know why, but I was just in the mood for a little bit of CCR there, a little Green River. I always liked that. I don't know. I'm a big John Fogerty fan. Let's see. Fish and Frank here. And Captain Barry, it's his show. This is Big Fish Radio. Do you want to introduce everybody, Mr. Barry?
Sure. I mean, this is Big Fish Radio. We do not have our typical Alex and Robert as our co-hosts today. So we have Captain Kale instead.
Howdy.
Fish and Frank. And Josh, what's the name of your lure company?
Marker 54 Lures.
Hello. Marker 54. So we've actually been recording a lot of shows, and we're like, why don't we do one for Big Fish Radio? And here we go.
Big Fish Radio. So today, you know, Fish and Frank, he can't keep his mouth shut. So I'm going to start you off for Big Fish, and we're going to do what I call did and want to do. Or did. I don't know what we're going to do with this, but we're going to talk about changing weather and what lures we would pick for cool to cold. And we're talking water that's 72 or cooler, mm-hmm. all the way down to like 60, from like 60 to 72 degrees and clear. And what we want to do is try and catch snook. So we're going to each go around with one lure that we picked.
Redfish.
Oh, redfish. Sorry. They're all throwing their hands up at me. If I was smart, I'd actually have money. I wouldn't be doing this for a living, okay? I'd be like a lure manufacturer or something like that, or a physicist for nuclear radiation chips.
Why not both?
Because I ain't that smart. If I was that smart, I could do that.
It's not that
so
hard.
So we're talking about redfish. This is all about redfish. Okay. Water from 60 to 72 degrees and clear. Mm-hmm. All right? So
now the question is, did he forget that it was about redfish between the trailer and the store or the store and the trailer?
I think it was still
in the trailer.
Because
does he have a handful of snook lures and we have a handful of redfish lures? Or what?
But we'll find out, I guess.
I think I can do anything
with anything.
So, oh, he's that versatile.
I don't have to, you know. But I actually got good ones for redfish. Okay. So, Kale, you want to start us off?
Yeah. Mine
pick
is...
Pick one lure.
Pick one. But yeah, I was just going to say that mine is a have-done-want-to-do scenario.
Okay.
My have-done gold spoon. I'm sorry, but I don't
think... Now, how does that want to do?
No, that is a have done. The other one is a want to do.
Okay, so your first one here is a gold spoon.
Gold spoon.
Now, you picked the minnow, not the sprite.
Correct.
Single hook, weedless.
Single hook, weedless.
Why?
Because I'm going to cast this down along the mangroves. This isn't something that I really want to use for open water. I want to run this just in front of the mangroves.
So you're going to get your boat as close up to the mangroves as you can get.
As close as possible, which is
And you're going to pitch parallel down the shoreline.
Exactly. You're going to pitch parallel. I have never understood why people fish for redfish and snook under mangroves from out in front of the mangroves. You're in the strike zone for 2 seconds.
That's 100% true.
And that lure is gone.
Mm-hmm. Even fishing from a seawall.
Absolutely.
Like you do better fishing on the actual seawall itself and casting along it, then
right.
you see the people coming throwing directly, like perpendicular to it.
Two jerks and it's out of the strike zone.
Exactly.
Fish don't care.
Right.
Casting this parallel down the mangroves, keeping it low, keeping it slow, that's where you're going to produce fish.
Yeah, you're going to be in the strike zone
the whole time.
Yep.
And it works well. I may give it a little bit of added scent for redfish. I may throw on some Pro-Cure shrimp, Pro-Cure crab. Mm-hmm. But how do you not pick a gold weedless spoon for redfish?
No,
that is the oldest lure for redfish.
Well, how is it not in a survival kit? You can travel the earth with a gold spoon
right.
and catch every fish.
Right.
You need
Absolutely.
Water purification tablets and a gold spoon. You can eat and drink for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, that's what they do with the bucktail jigs, because you got the same basic thing with a bucktail. Freshwater, saltwater fish are going to hit it. Gold spoon, freshwater, saltwater. Mm-hmm. But the jig is cheaper. That's why you get it in the survival kit.
Yeah, exactly.
Lighter, maybe.
The spoon is more expensive, so they don't put it in the survival kit. That way they can make more money.
I guess my question would be, why not a silver spoon? I tend to fade toward the silver spoons, not the gold ones.
Your water is probably a little clearer.
Yeah.
And if you're going for redfish in dark water, silver is not a presence. It's a glint. It's a flash, but it doesn't create a physical presence when seen in dark water. Redfish have very, very poor eyesight, and they see shadows way better than they see, like, an object itself. So that little bit of shadow effect, the gold spoon is darker, it's more of a physical presence. You get that little bit of glint off of it, but it contrasts with that dark water where that silver flash kind of blends in. You can't really see it. So to get that really... It's kind of weird, but the darker the color in dark water, the more redfish is going to see it. Mm-hmm. And their eyesight is so bad. Grubbing in the bottom has destroyed their eyesight. So they have a very keen sense of smell, a good sense of hearing, and very lousy eyesight. And really hunt mostly by shadow rather than actual, I see that.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Wow. So, hey, you wanted to know, man. All right. So we got gold spoon here. Barry, what's your first choice?
Okay, I actually picked two have-dones, not want to or whatever, so should I just pick
that's
one
okay.
Of them?
No, just go with the two have-dones. You got to be safe. You know, we know how you are. As big as you are, you've got some insecurities. You know, we understand
I
that.
I got to, you know, have...
He's like 9 foot tall and, you know, built like he should be on a pro wrestling circuit. But he's a little delicate guy. You know, you got
like to
get
like
through
the 6 pound test. A little delicate. A little
clumsy rod. If he doesn't crush me with his hand.
I didn't know we were giving that level of information.
But I picked two have-dones, and if it was a cold water, clear situation...
Just one of them.
Oh, just one of them, okay.
Just one of them.
The first one I guess I would pick, I would be... If I didn't know where the redfish were just yet, I'd be doing like a search bait kind of thing. So I picked the Z-Man, the scented paddlers... You actually were out of the one I wanted, which means it's probably that's people are using it a lot. It's the pinfish color. That one, because it seems to work very well, because usually in the colder water, the greenbacks are off the flats, and what's left are pinfish.
Right.
So that color and rigged weedless, is like with those mustad, I like to use 1/8 ounce. I don't like to use anything heavy. And this scented paddlers is like long and slender, and it just has like a very nice lazy wobble, and just all I do is just crawl it just under the surface or near the bottom, and until I start banging fish, then I'll slow down and
okay.
Start working my next lure.
I get it.
Yeah, so that's me.
So you're gonna switch right. This out once you've found the redfish,
right? Once you start like spooking some, or once you start hooking a few, you're like, all right, I'm in redfish, then I would change it up.
Stay tuned, fish folks. Same fish place, yes. Same fish time. Now, Barry will be back with part two.
If you're finding
this.
Redfish mm-hmm. and catching redfish, mm-hmm. why would you switch your lure?
Well, that's a good question. You don't necessarily have to, but I feel like I would want to give them a slow. The second lure is more of a slower presentation. Like, let's say you're catching a few here and there, but when you like go over the area and you realize you're spooking more than you've actually hooked or something,
sure,
maybe they want something different and slower, especially since we're fishing in colder temperatures right now. So that's
what
that's
about
why.
Size profiling? Do you think if they're get on to 3-inch mullet, they're not going to eat fours and they're not going to go to twos? They size profile like the religion?
Yeah, I do think, especially in the winter, they're not going to go for a big bait. But that's why my search bait is kind of big, to get a reaction, get noticed and see if I can get a hit. Because my second choice is smaller and has a lot more scent.
Well, go ahead. We're this far into it. Go ahead. Break protocol.
Can I get a drum roll, Frank? Okay. It is the 3-inch white, the pearl white gulp shrimp. And that is just infused with so much juice, and I just throw that on an 1/8 ounce jig head, weedless if possible, if you have weeds, and just hop it on the bottom or just crawl it. Like, just crawl it digging in the mud. They will pounce on that. It's got so much scent. They would love that. And especially in a cold water situation where, let's say a cold front just passed, the water temperature is like 65 degrees, they'll see that, come over to it, pounce on it, and you can let it sit because it's got scent, and they'll come to it.
So you're using the white to contrast the grass, the darker sands, all that kind of stuff to get a bit more contrast. Now, do you find it has to be moving a little bit for them to hit it, or do they do pretty good sitting still?
When I see them, I just want to get their attention. So once I see them look at it or move towards it, I just stop it. Just leave it. Just stop it. And then let them come up and investigate. And usually they'll just come over. They'll smell it because it's got like a radius of scent. They'll just come over and pounce on it. The one thing you do not do, because I've learned through experience, is when you see one coming to it, don't try to hop it in front of them. Just keep like just dragging it in the mud. It's like, I think it's like instinctual. They want to pounce and pin it on the bottom.
Well, it's a more natural presentation for a shrimp during the day. I mean, most people don't realize shrimp are nocturnal animals.
Right, so they're hiding
they
in the
bury
grass.
Themselves in the sand.
Right.
With nothing but their beady little eyes sticking out during the daytime.
Right.
So it's a more natural presentation.
Yeah. So that's what I would do.
Okay, so you're going to start with that Z-Man paddle tail and
bait.
Slow crank it around as you're casting. And then once you find them, go to a more sit-still, you know, slower-moving presentation with a very stinky gulp bait.
Yes. And, I mean, if they're hitting fine on the first option, just stick with that the rest of the day. But if you start realizing you're missing a lot of fish are blown out, then I would slow down and really slow down the presentation. So
okay.
That's me.
All right, Joshua, Marker 54 Lures. Do we have to guess what you picked?
Well, I use a lot of stuff, but we use exactly what he was saying. We use a search bait, and then typically I use Texas versions of the Chicken Boy or down south. You guys over here use a saltwater assassin, but that's an excellent search bait.
And they're nice folks, too.
They are, but it's a smaller profile, and I find that I tend to find the smaller reds on that smaller profile. The energy expended for a larger red is not worth it for the 3-inch fish, 3-inch bait. But when we do slow down, we slow down to our jerk shrimp because it's a profoundly slow horizontal movement.
But you picked this saltwater assassin paddle tail. It's, what, a 3-inch or 4-inch?
Right, I only like them in the 3-inch. I like them because when it's cold, the most aggressive fish are going to be those smaller reds. They're still hungry. They will key you into the areas that will be holding the other reds. The larger reds usually are buried. They're usually ones that you spook because you got so close to them, they're holding in the last second. And in Texas, we fish a lot of mud in the winter because that mud warms up faster because it's black mud and it just holds more heat. And so we look for the smaller reds to help us key into the larger reds. But the larger red, unless you drop it on his head, he's not going to leave his little spot to chase a 3-inch paddle tail. It's just not enough food for him. He needs a larger profile. That's why we use our 4-inch shrimp. And we'll sit there, and like you said, we drop it right in front of him, and they'll move on it.
Yeah.
That's how we fish
it. And that's the cool thing is your redfish can behave a lot like our snook. Our redfish don't get as size tuned in as our snook do. If I take crankbaits for snook, I bring all three sizes, small, medium, and large. And we want big fish, so we'll start with a large. And you'll see those snook follow it right to the boat, but not eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll turn around and go back to their hole. That's when you change size. Because he didn't eat that fish, he chased it out because he considers it competition for his food.
Mm-hmm.
Drop down a size. If he still follows it, go even smaller until he eats it. But our redfish, and it's kind of cool that we're seeing the difference in how the redfish behave between Texas and here. They're kind of similar. They do have some slight differences. They're not as completely different as the redfish in Louisiana. But it's nice to see that there are some differences in behavior depending on where you're fishing for.
It's also seasonal bait. We've decided to stop having winters in Texas, so we just have long falls and springs. And so our mullet never stopped growing, so we always have finger mullet. I was remarking the other day to a buddy in Texas that we are now getting a fresh crop of finger mullet in December when you would normally not see them until March. But the larger redfish, which normally don't tolerate the rats during the summer, they like to kind of, the bulls hang with the bulls, the 30s hang with the 30s, they don't mind because everybody goes in the back to stay in the warm water where it's mud. And the rats are more aggressive. So you find rats, then you scale up because you know you're not going to get it. And so you scale up, and then you can start finding your larger reds. And we almost always find them holding till the last second. They really don't want to move. If they're in this little spot in the mud, you'll get almost on top of them, then they'll go. And you're like, man, how did I miss that? But we really find them a lot like that. But you have to give them enough motivation to eat.
Sure.
Because they just don't want to, they're trying to conserve energy.
Yep.
And so you really have to kind of scale up. And I don't think people are willing to trust those large baits enough in those shallow, clear conditions because they think, oh, it's so big, I got to go small. No, I mean, you're going to run away from a big steak? No. He'd be like, thank you, bring it on. I don't need the petite food. So that's just the way we look at it a lot.
And I think both scenarios, because what Kale was saying is sometimes you'll see the redfish following out a bait, thinking it's competition, thinking it's whatever. But when those aren't happening and you're not seeing the redfish happen, and what you're talking about is we used to have a lot of fun because I worked for the federal government for quite a while as a contractor, and I worked for universities. I worked for the state of Florida. I was a contractor for a while. And which meant I flew in a helicopter a lot because I worked on the water. And we would fly over and watch guys doing the flats, and you would see on the sandbars and stuff little pockets of grass, and you can actually see the redfish laying in it. Mm-hmm. A little bit darker, you know, things we would see. And guys would literally walk within a few feet of them, and they wouldn't move a muscle. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of deer hunting up north, because we would get all these guys from the city, and their idea of making a drive for the deer is to yell and holler and make a lot of noise and bang on trees and stuff as they walk through the woods, hoping to drive them to the people waiting on the other side of the woods so they get a shot at them. And typically what happens after a while is you do one drive and you might scare a couple, but after that they just lay down, and you literally have to kick that deer to get it to move. As they get older, you get an 8-point buck. He's not going to move until you kick him in the butt. I mean, you're going to have to walk up and kick him before he's going to get up and run and make a target of himself once he hears all that whooping and hollering. And I think the redfish go through some of the same thing.
Sure. They do. And when we get a lot of tailers, I fish a lot of Central Coast, so we fish shoal water and Matagorda Bay and stuff. Even if you pull a fish out of a tailor group, the group will split. It'll only go about 25 yards and stop going again. They're not going to be like summertime reds. You pull one, the whole thing's gone. You got to go find another school. They will reform really quickly because they just don't want to move around a whole lot. A lot of that's because they're on crab or they're on shrimp, and the bait just happens to be there, and they know that. The other part is that they're just too cold to swim too far.
And we'll do that.
Isn't it amazing? We're talking about fish that's too cold, because if people are up north, they're used to the water getting down 33, 34 degrees. Oh, and in South Texas and South Florida, 60 is considered exceptionally cold.
Hey,
that is really ice chilly water.
I won't get in 60 degree water anymore.
What's that?
I won't get in 60 degree water anymore.
Yeah, well, I get that. All right, well, I'm going to do a lure here. I'm picked. And what's kind of funny is all three of us picked search bait. Kale picked a spoon to do it with, which is actually a pretty good choice. But I picked the Strike King Rage Swimmer as my search bait because the tail is not attached really well. And so exactly as Barry was thinking, he uses that Z-Man with an 1/8-ounce jig head. I use the Rage Swimmer with 1/8 or 1/16-ounce jig heads. The reason for the light jig head is I can reel it very slowly without it banging into the bottom. If I get a quarter ounce on there, I got to go too fast.
Right.
Or it's just going to slam into the bottom with a very, very light jig head. Now, I'm using either the middle size, the 3.75, or the larger one. Preferably, I like the larger one. But this is, in cold water, sometimes I drop down a little bit smaller. But I prefer the larger one most of the time. But I'm going to crank this very, very slowly, very light jig head. I'm going to pitch it. And with that tail attached, it's got a very thin chunk of plastic to hold a very large paddle tail. So if I'm barely reeling, I get a lot of activity out of that tail. It is one of the best slow, and I mean agonizing, bore your brains out, just can't stand life anymore if I can't reel this thing, and you're just turning really, really slow. But that Rage Swimmer does some of the best at the slowest speeds of any of them that I've found. And
you know if you missed a hit.
Well, no, the tails stay on pretty good.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. It's remarkably strong for what it is. We actually, the only thing we had tear up when we were using jig heads in them, and the front of the lure got a little tore up where the fish was on, and we could cut it and move the jig head back. We were literally cutting them 2, 3, and 4 times, moving the jig heads back.
Sure.
I don't think I lost a tail.
That's pretty good.
It's literally, I call it crappy attached, but it's really super strong attached, and I would have never believed that.
Wow.
That it could be on that poorly and hold up that well.
Well, do you have a color? Because a lot of people like bright pinks and stuff in wintertime, and I tend to go the darker colors.
Yeah, I'm either going to go to the green and white or this gray and white one. I'm way more subdued because we're dealing with very, very clear water, and that was part of the premise for this. If we were doing murkier water and stained water, I'd be doing the chicken colors, nuclear chicken, Texas chicken. If we were doing very dark water, I'm going to switch to, you know, really dark browns and stuff like that. But for clear water, I'm either using the gray or that kind of olive green back with the whites.
What about you guys? What colors do y'all favor in the winter? Like I said, I like the darks, not the bright colors.
We go with brighter colors in the wintertime because the water's clear. Summertime, when the water's dark from all the rains, we'll go to darker colors.
Believe it or not, one of my another favorite search bait is, for me, I do fish darker colors. My favorite is the golden brim. It's like, I love that. And there's also, like, DOI makes it, and I'm sure other companies too. It's a paddle tail. It's root beer with a chartreuse tail, and match that with like a chartreuse head, an 1/8 ounce. That's another amazing search bait that works not just in the wintertime, but also in the summer as well. But our water is so clear, typically during the winter, that I don't want to spook them because something's too bright. I'd rather go dark or something natural than anything.
All right, so we've got less than a minute here, guys. It was kind of fun, you know. This has been a fun show. Lots of good stuff, but basically, the cooler, clearer water, it depends upon where you're at, what you're from, whether you want bright colors or more subdued. I go with the more subdued colors because, to me, the clearer the water, the more the subdued the colors on the fish. The fish get actually brighter and everything. But, you know, you got to play and find out what works. But anyway, we're going to be back. And hopefully we have Joshua from Marker 54. Awesome having you on the show, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate
you
coming.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, we're kind of like running on the rim of this. If you haven't tried a marker, you got a website for your
Marker
stuff?
Marker54.com.
Marker54.com. Well, that was hard to figure out.
And it's 54.com.
Yeah, like it's the number 54.
Yeah, you don't have to spell it out.
Yeah, marker five, number 5, number 4.
Yes, sir.
And I've been selling lures for quite a while. My people are catching fish with them. They're having fun. And
that was my want-to-do lure.
That was your want-to-do, was the Marker 54 lure. Shrimp.
Yep.
It's a very good lure. You'd be surprised.
I will tell you, I've sold a lot of them, and I have people that come back in and buy more, so we got a lot of repeat customers on them. And speaking of repeat customers, we're out of here, boys and girls. Thanks for listening. Big Fish Radio.
We have mud bottoms.